to almost be a relief for hockey fans in Minneapolis. Norm Green is moving the Minnesota North Stars to Dallas.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs! What you
wanna say? Club in fair territory, and then lands fair. Wow.
So a huge break for the Yankees. Joe Mauer should be at second base.
With the sixth pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Johnny Flynn from
yards left hash. Snap good. Spot down. Wolch's kick is up. And it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Misery Loves Company. We're back after a short hiatus. I had some tech problems and a broken hand. Sitting to my right is a man who supports the local AAA franchise, the Minnesota Twinkies, just back from the ballpark yesterday.
Yeah.
Mike Colosimo. Mike 667 Colosimo.
667. What a batting average. Yeah, I was at the Target Field yesterday. A colleague of mine with US Bank brought me to the Champions Club, which I had never been into. What an amazing deal there.
It's a small club in Minnesota.
Well, it is, but what they do in this club is unbelievable. The food offerings, the beverages. I sat literally right behind home plate.
I know, and you're famous now.
Well, yeah, because I got home last night, I'm flipping through channels, and I'm like, hey, that's me. They were showing the replay of the Twins game. They got their butts kicked by another really bad team, the Oakland A's. Or where are they now? Where's Oakland?
Anyway, I think they're playing in
Sacramento or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the A's kicked the crap out of us, swept us. But Brent Lila, shout out to US Bank for bringing me. Very kind of him. I had never. There's a world out there that I'm just not aware of. A very affluent world that hopefully someday I aspire to be in. But, the food, and it wasn't just like hot dogs. I mean, they had hot dogs, but they had, you name it, brisket, steaks. And it was just unlimited. I'm not a huge eater, but I don't drink. But if I did,
that's where you'd go.
A full bar. And yeah. I said, Brent, what are these tickets going? He goes, I think they're like $400 a ticket.
Yeah.
And
but it's all you can eat.
All you can eat, all you can drink, I think, snacks, it was unbelievable. Beautiful day.
Yeah.
Second row, got to see Buxton up close, some of the AAA kids up close, and we lost 8-3.
But yeah, it's always kind of fun to go to the ball game, regardless if you haven't been in a while.
Absolutely, yeah.
Seems like the Twins just cashed in their chips a little bit, and they're in a rebuilding decade.
Oh my gosh! Even in the rich kids seats, which is where I was sitting, I mean, there were some owly fans there wanting the Polads to sell the team. One guy ripped his jersey off, his Twins jersey, and he was not in great shape. But
like Hulk Hogan,
yes, but not in great shape. And I almost gave him my shirt to put back so he could put something back on. But he's
because you were tired of looking at him.
Oh my gosh! And he was swearing and cursing at the poll ads. And yeah, we all want the team sold. Because
do you think they're going to listen to him?
No, gosh, no. Do billionaires listen to peons like me? No. So I don't know if this dude was a peon. He was sitting in the rich kid seats, but anyway, there was some, it was interesting.
Yeah,
for sure.
There well, couldn't at least have been more people than care.
Yeah, they do. I don't think there were more than 8,000 people in the stands. Maybe.
Yeah. 10, that reminds 10. Me of Major League. Remember that?
Yes.
The movie.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
The first one, the second one was garbage.
I don't even remember the second one.
It's garbage. And even Charlie Sheen said, I knew when I signed that this was going to be a garbage movie. So it was a money grab for Charlie. But I got about halfway through it, and I threw the movie, and I turned it off. But,
All right. Well, the other thing I wanted to do at the top of the show, I keep on calling you 667 Colosimo.
Which is better than 666 because that's the devil.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I just didn't know if you wanted to explain to the people what that refers to, because I find it funny.
Well, I guess funny. Recommended I get my testosterone checked, which I did in January, and I didn't know. I didn't understand the levels. I know it goes up to 1,000. Right?
It's the normal range is 300 to 1,000. And okay. I'll just be upfront and honest. I'm on exogenous testosterone. And I thought, even though you are in good shape, I didn't think you would be walking around at the top end of the limit, which is why I think that's funny. Like, I thought I was doing you a favor, and you're like, yeah, pay no mind. I'm good over here.
Oh, I got it. All right. So, yeah. So I... They came back with the level of 667. They did not want to give me testosterone. I'm like, fine, right. Be that way. Anyway, so I guess for an old man like me, 667 is good.
Well, your dad had you at
74.
Yeah. So the testosterone, yep. the glands are working well in the Colosimo.
Yeah, they are. So hopefully that continues. I have two grandchildren, so I'm guessing that my boys are continuing with that.
Everything's fully functional. Yeah. And
me?
No, I'm just saying everything in general is fully functional.
Last time I checked, it is.
Okay, great.
And that was about an hour ago.
67 is my number. You get somebody pregnant just looking at them.
Not anymore, but okay. Back in the day.
Yeah. All right, well, today's going to be a little bit of a different show. We're not going to go over a particular season. We are planning on doing the 2000 Vikings season next, and I snared us a little guest, and he could do it. His name's Brian. He's going to do it on Thursday, so we put a pause on it, but we really just like getting together and just doing these podcasts. We're going chronologically, so we can't do 99, right? There's nothing to talk about 99, so we thought we'd do like a recap of the millennium. The All Miserable Team. We're going to talk about some records, some movies, our top five lists, and, review where we've been. It was a long century, or at least the last quarter, for Minnesota Vikings fans.
Yeah, it sure was.
I've been talking to a lot of people about the pod, and the thing that people gasp at is when I tell them for all four Super Bowls, the score was 51-0 at halftime, not a single point scored.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that like? You ever light off fireworks when you're a kid? Get all excited, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You got maybe one that you wanted to light off, and that fuse goes down to what you get ready and...
Nothing.
Yeah. It's a dud.
Well,
dud. Super Bowls have been duds.
And it is, and so have many of the championship games, because we've been in many. And I read somewhere a couple of weeks ago when we were prepping for one of the other podcasts that we have one of the top winning percentages in the NFL history of the NFL, and we don't have a Super Bowl. And they show, I should bring that list, because all the other teams on the list have Super Bowl championships above us, below us. And so it is, again, misery loves company.
Yeah. It's sort of been lost to time a little bit. I wasn't fully aware of the heartbreak, but I certainly am now, and we're gonna talk about a little. Why don't we jump into our All Miserable Team? Now, I asked you to choose a quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, a tight end, five defensive players, and a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the same.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start at the top. Who's coaching this squad?
Well, in the spirit of full disclosure, before we jump in, because we're going to have some similarities, we're going to have some differences. I misread your email, and I didn't fully read your email because I'm getting my rear end kicked in my working world. But so there may not be some consistency here. But of course, you cannot, regardless of what I read, Bud Grant is the greatest coach in the history of Minnesota Vikings football. And so I selected Bud.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Bud would be able to handle modern personalities like Randy Moss?
I don't think he'd want to.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
But his talent's so immense, you just kind of have to.
Yeah, right. And, the guy was, masterful, as you mentioned. He was masterful at, team continuity and really working the players and working with the players. So maybe he would evolve, but... Just from what I've heard, I've never met the guy, but from what I've heard, he is pretty hard-nosed, and I don't think a lot of these athletes...
Firm but fair.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of them could deal with it.
Now, I have a feeling that the team would be eating a hot tamales and Coca-Cola for team dinner, one of those. You know what I mean? Team meal, that story from Randy. I still can't get over it. That was his pregame meal, and Chris Carty's just in there playing video games. If you missed the episode, we're talking about Randy Moss's first ever game. They're at the team meal, and they can't find Randy, and Chris ultimately finds him in his hotel room, and he's slamming hot tamales and drinking soda, or pop, as you call it, and playing video games.
Oh, my goodness.
And what did he do that next day? 95 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Oh, that's it.
For his NFL debut.
As they say, oh, I'm bored. He was bored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Mozart playing with a cover band.
Yeah.
yeah, I had Bud as well. Mostly just his blue eyes. I just like to look at those every day.
Piercing blue eyes.
No, I'm kidding, of course. No, I grew to like Bud. Everything I read about him, he really cares about the players. And I do think he was sort of a psychological, he was intuitively good at controlling the psychological aspect of motivation, team unity. Not that guys didn't fight for Jerry. We're going to have Jerry on the squad. We have to we'll find a place for him somewhere. But as far as the head coaching goes, seems like we're in lockstep here.
Yeah. And Jerry was the OC for the 4 Super Bowls. So
yeah, he won't be the OC for my team.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, gotcha.
Zero points.
Okay. So we're just going over my team right now. Is that what we're
doing? I'm just bouncing back. If I have the same thing, there's no reason to go over it twice.
Okay.
So we're in unison with Bud. We got Coach Bud coaching the squad. Who's the coach on the field? Who's running the show here? Quarterback.
Oh, I got to go with Sir Francis. He was my idol as a child. He still is my idol. He's got to be close to 80 now, and he's just such a successful post-football businessman. I just love and respect everything about the guy.
Yeah, what made you get into it? Like, I know he was your hometown quarterback.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much it? He's your favorite all-time player.
Yeah.
What do you think it was that you formed a bond with this guy?
He was the scrambler before anybody, before that was, like, hugely popular. He didn't have a shotgun of an arm by any stretch of the imagination, but he got the job done. And I just loved his presence on and off the field. He hosted a Saturday Night Live episode once. So you got to see that.
That takes balls.
Exactly. Back then.
Yeah, and he had some FU to him. We talked about, like, his – remember when
he threw
the only – yeah, he's the only quarterback to get thrown out of a game for fighting, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot what it was, but you want that on your team.
Loved that. My old man loved him. And then he had the number 10, which was my birthday is on the 10th. And I think I've shared this in previous episodes. Every sport – team I played on, I was number 10.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I just hope someday to come out and say he's like a heroin addict or he's a, some bad guy or, I'm just hoping they don't.
Oh. I think it would have came out by now.
I think so too. He's almost 80.
Unless he's thinking about picking it up. Hey, if you're 80, you've earned the right.
He just seems to be a good guy on and off the field. Was he the greatest quarterback ever? No. But for many years, he was on the, top 10 list of touchdowns.
He was. Yards thrown,
that type of thing.
Okay. So. For a quarterback, I guess we'll just bounce back and forth. For a quarterback, I didn't put this in the email, so it's not your fault, Mike, but I did. The way I constructed my team is they were actually going to play together.
Okay, yeah.
So I went with Randall just because he's got a cannon. Randall Cunningham, he's got a cannon. You're going to need one with my wide receiver core. So, and then the other thing I like about Randall, I like a comeback story. I'm getting he was probably like, 35 at that time, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting an end stage quarterback, like one last gasp in him. There's something I like about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't go wrong. I mean, unfortunately, it was just a one and done for Randall. Mm-hmm. He came back the next year. You know, the same thing, you could say the same thing for Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, you know, 19 yeah. or 2009, he right. came, you know, and so he had that one outstanding year, took us to the championship, threw across the body.
And we'll get there.
We'll get there.
And we'll get there.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm not over it.
Swear.
Never
gonna cool. Well, okay, so you got, of course, Fran at QB. I got Randall.
Yeah.
Let's move to RB1.
RB1, it's, to me, now we have to, we're only talking about that specific era. So for that era, just Chuck Foreman is, you know, again, he was that dual threat running back before the dual threat running back was hugely prevalent.
He is so underappreciated. Yeah. I've never heard of him, and I'm sort of a fantasy junkie, and I'm not a historian, but, you know, I pay attention to things.
Yeah.
I don't know how he slipped under my radar, and he was great.
Chuck Foreman.
And I have him as well.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, So, pairing him with my other running back makes a lot of sense. You got the threat out of the backfield. He seemed like kind of a dominant athlete watching the films that I watched. Like, you know, sometimes it's not so much in modern NFL because everybody's just electric out there. Mm-hmm. But watching him was kind of like watching like youth football. I used to be an EMT on the sidelines of youth football. Mm. And there's always that one kid, right? That's yeah. just a little faster than the rest. People are taking an angle at him to tackle him. That would work for most people. It doesn't work for him. He runs by you. That was Foreman, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I did a lot of youth hockey coaching in my youth. Mm-hmm. And I coached my sons and that type of thing. And we had one kid named Matt Hellickson, who 3-on-3 cross ice mini mite, and he's scoring 9 goals a game. I'm like, this kid is gifted. And I went on to be went to Notre Dame full ride, drafted by the Devils. And I ran into him at a watering hole once about 5 or 6 years ago. I go, Matty, remember who one of your first coaches was? He goes, yeah. And I go, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. I had nothing to do with his skills whatsoever.
But you're not afraid to take the credit.
That's he good. Just laughed, and he's such a good kid. Anyway, but yeah, you're right. That Foreman was certainly ahead of his time and a man amongst some boys there.
Yeah. Okay, so we both have Foreman.
Yeah.
The other running back slot for you?
Well, this is where, because I didn't fully understand that they had to play together, Robert Smith was my second running back. But
that's a good choice. We talked about him.
Yeah,
that works.
We did, but he didn't play with Foreman. No,
it's not that they have to play together. It's not that they have to play together. It's just I wanted you to pick people from the era, like the years we talked about, which is fine.
Yep.
You pick him over Herschel?
Yeah, I did.
I picked Herschel.
Okay.
Because I figured if you're going to mortgage the future,
all right,
we got to get as much value out of this guy as we can.
Okay.
He's on my team. We're gonna use him. We.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Did you get into the Dallas documentary at all?
I did not.
Yeah. No. I don't know, folks. If you're out there, I highly recommend on Netflix. There's sort of the telling of the Jerry Jones era Dallas, and it's I find it wildly interesting. But they go over the Herschel Walker trade. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how we were
they went from 1-15 and now they won 3 Super Bowls, and the trade had a lot to do with it. So I'm putting him on my team, and I think he works well with my team. He's a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
He can get short yardage.
Mm. So
I got a little thunder and lightning in my backfield, you know. I think they complement each other well.
Yeah.
But Robert Smith's a good choice. Electric, fast. Remind me, can he catch it out of the backfield?
He could. And he was super fast, and he was super intellectual. Other than 98, when he should have just fallen down instead of going out of bounds, I don't know if Robert listens to this. I doubt he does. But I think there are many Vikes fans that are still upset about that because one of the many things that contributed to that loss, and we could have run the clock out. But
it's not his fault. Just when you put on that jersey and the game matters, things happen.
Well,
the purple is just...
Until this year.
this year.
Wait, there's always next year. All right, anyway, yeah.
I'm telling, they're going to win one in the KOC era, I hope.
I hope so.
And I hope they don't get impatient and fire that guy. In my opinion, that happens too much in the NFL.
He's loved by the fans. He's loved. He's still doing, two of his first three seasons have been, although he lost both of the playoff games. You know, they had him mic'd up on a nondescript playoff preseason game last weekend, and I just happened to have it in background while I was doing some work, and he drops an Effenheimer. He's talking to Paul Allen, mm-hmm. and they're doing this some type of simulcast, and mm-hmm. and PA's going, okay, what's the next play? And he's like, all right, well, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, blah, 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 we're going to, oh, no, oh, F, and he just drops.
Oh.
And
on like live radio?
Radio and TV. Yeah. So, because they were doing the simulcast between KFAN and Fox 9. And they must have a 7-second delay or something to that effect because they were able to beep it out.
Yeah.
KOC went on the next day and apologized for that. He said, I get a little caught up in the heat of the moment. And anyway, I just went, you know what? You're human, dude.
I'm sure the people can understand.
Absolutely. You know, so he's not Jerry Burns by any stretch of the imagination.
No
fucking question about that.
Right?
Yep. No.
He ain't Jerry. I don't know. We'll see. By the end of his tenure, maybe the Vikings will drive him crazy.
Yeah, well.
And he'll be cussing like a sailor at the mic.
You know, this is very premature, but right now I've got Bud first, Denny Green second, and KOC is probably the third best coach we've had.
Yeah, I would have to dig a little deeper on that.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Denny. From the research I did do, he seems like a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He
wrote a book called No Room for Crybabies, but then he tried to sue the Vikings, which is never a good move.
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game.
See what
everybody
Minnesota does to people?
The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Oh. That's timeless.
Oh, best part.
That is timeless.
I talked over it. The reporter says thank you. I like that. That never gets old.
No.
Yeah.
No, it does not. Dang. And I know, God rest his soul. He has since passed. But all the players love him. Loved him then. Love him now.
It's a theme in Minnesota coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe we need a hated coach that gets us to the Super Bowl.
I think there's someone coaching in college right now that could probably. If you had the opportunity right now to switch out KOC for Belichick, would you?
No.
Okay. I would only do it if KOC, and I know you wouldn't do this, and we're in fantasy land right now anyway. If he stayed on as OC, yes.
Yeah.
I think Belichick could get them over the line. I don't know. Guy knows how to coach
ball.
He
does. Yeah, but he also
like
Tom
weird
Brady.
Things happening at the end, like you just mentioned, Robert Smith running out of bounds.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do that.
No,
he coaches that shit constantly. The game manager. Yeah, and situational awareness is what he's known for. He knows what to do, like game theory wise.
Yeah.
On every situation.
Right.
It is when these guys make millions of dollars and they make like just fundamental clock errors. You gotta wonder, you know, like. If you can't handle it, and I can see myself making the same errors if you're a head coach because you're thinking about plays, personnel, who knows, any number of things, clock. But you got to be thinking about the clock. Why not just hire some nerd to stand next to you and have, like, that stuff is all worked out ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
It's rarely ever a judgment call. There's a right and a wrong answer. There's some nebulous stuff, but, like, I don't know. I think Belichick would clean that stuff up, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And he's certainly a disciplinarian, and the fundamentals are just beaten into that team. They always talk about hitting the hill.
He wouldn't even give Brady credit.
No.
I mean, he takes it a little too far maybe in today's NFL. There is an argument that stuff doesn't work. The college kids are coming in as millionaires. Like,
yeah, it'll be curious to see how he does in the college ranks. But
yeah, someone I was talking to made a point of, like, if you're a pro or if you're aspiring to be a pro, maybe you do transfer to North Carolina because who could give you better insight?
Well,
that's for recruiting, but you know, he doesn't like gland, as far as I know, he doesn't like glad handing and going in. I don't see him going into living rooms and promising parents like the old school recruiting. But maybe Jennifer Hudson could. Just get her in some living. Oh, I guess the parents wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You know how old she is, right?
Like 25.
Younger.
23?
I think she's 24.
Oh, yeah. I was right.
You know how old he is? Around.
He's 70, isn't he?
Over 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you, Bill. Yeah. What's your testosterone level, brother? All right.
Sure. He's walking around. Yeah. Are you trying to measure with Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I got to measure something.
Sword measure?
Yeah, he's got 7 Super Bowl rings. I have 0, so.
All right. So there are running backs. Colosimo had Foreman and Robert Smith. I had Herschel. And Herschel's on that Dallas documentary, by the way.
I'm sure he is.
And I didn't remember that he won't stop talking in the third person.
No.
And then he even notes, he's like, I know I'm talking in the third person.
That's what Herschel does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to wide receiver.
Let's do it.
I don't think we need to get too fancy here. Let's just pick two of the maybe top 10, top, certainly Chris Carter in the top 20, would you say, of all time?
I would say for sure in the top 20.
And Moss is top 3?
Top, absolutely.
So we got Moss and Carter, both of us.
Both of us have Moss and Carter, and when they were together, and then you add Jake Reed. Yeah.
You got a problem.
They used to call him three deep. My son had a poster, three deep, and it was a three, and all three of them had signed it. I don't know if he still
has. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too much to talk about. I mean, no. We didn't really give Chris Carter any credit. I didn't really dig into the research. Do you have any memories from Chris Carter or any plays that signified or were exemplary of his outstanding prowess on the football field?
There are so many. His hands were like Velcro. He used to be, I mean, they used to joke on ESPN about all he does is catch touchdowns.
Yeah, first downs and touchdowns.
He did more than that. Thing. You know, I know a lot of times, and there might be some ex-teammates of his that, you know, he would jaw at the defense. He would jaw at everybody. He would jaw at Randy Moss. He would jaw at Chris Walsh. He was one of the receivers on the team back in the 90s, 80s, 90s. Anyway, but that aside, he was extremely talented. His hands were – I don't remember him dropping many balls. And he was just – I'm not saying he invented it, but, you know, that sideline toe touch.
Yeah.
If you YouTube Chris Carter sideline catches, mm-hmm. you'll see 1,000 of them.
So body control.
Oh, my gosh. And he was very disciplined.
Lynn Swan-esque kind of thing?
I would put him ahead of Lynn Swan.
Personally. Yeah, I didn't get to see Lynn play too much.
Yeah.
I have faint memories of Chris Carter, but I know he's good, and I know he looks like Godzilla's son.
And if you look back at the history before he kind of cleaned his act up, he was drafted by the Eagles.
Yeah.
Buddy Ryan.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if he was – we got him for $100.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't get anything for $100 these days. You guys got Chris Carter?
Yeah, it was something to the effect of we got him for $100 off waivers or something like that. And I don't remember the story, but what a $100 – you know, what – yes. One of the few good things that have happened to us.
Was it the same GM that got – it doesn't make up for it that mortgaged the future for Herschel. I wonder if it's the same GM that did that deal.
Boy, I think he came.
Lynn?
Mike Lynn? I don't know. I'd have to Google that. But I think he joined us in 89 or 90, Chris Carter did.
Okay.
And I know there was a year or two with Anthony Carter. So it was AC and CC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so not a bad tandem.
Yeah. AC, probably an honorable mention for the guys we talked about at receiver.
Oh, for sure. And Sammy White, a little before your time.
Yeah.
Sammy White was phenomenal. That guy was decapitated in one of the Super Bowls. He was hung out to dry and kept playing.
Yeah. Tight end, I'm guessing we have the same guy. What do you got?
Steve Jordan.
You got it.
Yeah. What I loved about Steve Jordan was he was super intellectual. He went to Brown University, if you know who that is.
And if you've ever heard him speak, he's very eloquent.
And you can tell his son, I always forget
Cam.
His name. Thank you, Cam Jordan. He's very articulate as well. But Jordan's claim to fame, and I mentioned this, he was always, when he got tackled, he would get up before the guy who tackled him. He always insisted on jumping right up. kind of like,
yeah, yeah.
He didn't hit me that hard.
I think you had, yeah.
Yeah.
he's trying to compensate for the Ivy League stuff. Like, you think I'm a Ivy League schoolboy? Here we go.
Exactly. And I know a lot of sports is mental as well. And certainly. So he would, you know, even if there was a dude, you know, on top of him, he would flip him off and just jump right up.
Yeah.
Head back to the, he wasn't a showy guy, not a lot of trash talking.
I think just, that stuff's good for morale too. And it shows the younger guys, you know, you don't have to do it like me, but you have to show in some way you're here to compete.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, excuse me.
It's okay.
Not a fan of trash talking anyway, and especially nowadays. I mean, you could be, your squad could be losing 42-7 and you pick the opposing QB off and you're dancing around like, and for me, it's like, look up at the score. You know,
yeah,
you're paid to pick, you know, balls.
You're
off.
More of a act like you've been there before guy.
I very much so. And I know it's part of my age and my era. And I know the kids now.
I don't mind the shit talking. I don't mind. Well, I mind people celebrating, like, God rest his soul. But Junior Seau, everything he did, he was doing some kind of dance.
That, you know what I mean? Kind of like twerky, dancey.
If you get a big sack or score a touchdown, have at it.
And fine, but there's a point where kind of know when to do it.
Yeah,
and
not just on a first down in the middle of the field
when
you're down by 30 points. And
right, you know.
I'm a big fan of celebrating the wins because, you know, in life it's mostly losses, in my opinion.
Yeah, those occasional wins should be celebrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, Steve Jordan.
You want to flip over to the other side of the ball? I asked for five.
We don't historically, the Vikes don't have these great tight ends. We just don't. I was trying to think of like some other tight ends, and I couldn't think of any.
Well, you got a pretty good one right now.
Oh, and
Hockenson.
Hockenson, good, but right before him, and I think he'll probably go down as the best tight end for the Vikings. Do you remember who it is?
I'm drawing
Kyle.
From Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, and I can't think of his last name. That's how none. Anyway, I think he still lives in Minnesota. So we'll move on in case he listens. But it's going to drive me nuts. So next week I'll have to come
here. Back. Why don't I vamp for a minute, and you can look it up later if it's really bugging you. Yeah, I'll give my defensive team, or at least the first guy on my list.
Okay.
I went with Chris Dolman on the line as one of my defensive guys. Just that one season when he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year, I told you he had 21 sacks. Plus, I remember him from my childhood watching football. He was a defensive guy you knew about because he was just that special.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And another one who's passed, right?
Oh, I didn't know Chris Dolman died.
He did. Yeah. And he was 50 maybe, if that.
Okay. And then another guy on the line that I had while you're still looking it up.
Yes.
Of course I went with the gavel. I mean, the guy, great player, super intelligent. He seemed to bring it every single playoff game. What is it? Kyle what?
Rudolph.
Oh, Rudolph, yeah.
I'm so mad at myself. And there's another dude, Stu Voigt.
I don't know Stu Voigt.
Stu Voigt, the Vikings historians would kick me in the rear. Stu Voigt, another great one. Sorry, Stu. Kyle Rudolph. But yes, going back to Alan Page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, a beast. And
probably a good locker room guy.
Yes.
Does the right thing. I am sure he works hard. I mean, you don't become a judge after football by not working hard.
Super intelligent, super articulate. I just listened to him the other day. Yeah, and we're both aligned with the first two, for sure.
And then Eller, because I need some mean, you know?
Like, okay.
I need some mean on the team. I need he's the yin to the gavel's yang, you know?
Absolutely. I don't have him on mine, but he certainly could be, because the one thing the Vikes have been known for historically is our vaunted D, and there's so many to choose from. Unfortunately, I didn't have Carl, who just passed away a couple of years ago. I met Carl a few times. His son used to work for us at one of the restaurants that we owned here in town. Great kid. And Carl was all everything you've just described.
And yeah.
Some,
you know, yeah, I was sort of inspired by that pick because I'll just mention the Dallas document. This is what you have to look forward to, Mike, when you finally dig into it.
Yeah.
Remember Charles Haley?
Mm-hmm.
5 Super Bowls?
I do.
Okay. They poached him, Dallas did, from San Francisco, and that was a big piece. When you watch the documentary, you'll be refreshed. Your mind will be refreshed on how important he was. I mean, he had 5 Super Bowls for a reason. He was an absolute disruptor back there. And he was also a disruptor behind the scenes. I'll tell you one story they get into in the documentary. And I'm not throwing shade or having a laugh. I do think he had mental illness. I think he would admit to that. And so he had, you know, he had some rage issues and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like what was going on in San Francisco, and he wanted to make his feelings known to the entire building. Yeah. So he went to the GM's office, and he pulled out his dingling, and he had a pee on the desk. And he said, that's how bad I want out of this place. He pissed on the GM's desk.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I will definitely.
So when I say that Dallas poached him, like I think maybe they were ready to let him go.
Yeah,
and there's more stories than that, but
wow.
Yeah, Charles Haley.
Yeah,
and then Dallas got another 2 with him.
Yes, they did.
Or wait, yes, sorry, 3 Super Bowls.
Oh yeah, because yeah, of us. They, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Where was I? So you. I'll just finish out I'm going to finish up with a couple of DBs here. I have Kraus because he made the Hall of Fame. I didn't watch him play. He's obviously good. And he had Jerry induct him. So I respect that. Mm-hmm. Maybe like we could have Jerry on my team just as Kraus's guy. You know what I mean? Like player, yeah. I got to figure out a role for Jerry. And then we both had Joey Browner.
Yeah, I think our list is consistent with the exception of I had Johnny Randall instead of Carl Eller. Yeah, Paul Kraus, number one all time.
You got a Kraus story?
No, other than it took them long enough to induct him into the hall. I mean, it's like he has 81 picks.
Reverse racism, white DB.
I don't know who the second all-time interception leader is, but when you have 81 picks, why are you not in Hall of Fame? So that was kind of frustrating, I'm sure, for him as well as Vikings fans. What I did not know when I Googled my list, he was drafted by the Redskins. So he played his first 3 years with the Skins and then he finished off the last 12, 14 years with the Vikings. But Paul Kraus played on all those Super Bowl losses. And then John Randall.
Yeah, tell me about Randall.
Johnny Randall, and he lives in Minnesota. Undrafted John Randall from like Texas A&I or something. Not A&M. From Houston, Texas, undrafted to become one of the greatest sack leaders and trash talkers of all time. If you ask Brett Favre who gave him more grief in his career, I guarantee he's going to say John Randall. And he's Johnny still.
I thought you didn't like that.
What I loved about his trash talking, he would look up like who your mother's maiden name.
Oh, he did his research. Well, you got to respect that.
Yeah, exactly.
This is pre-internet.
No, it wasn't, and it wasn't trash talking. Before the snap, he'd look over and go, "Brett, how's your mom doing? How's Elaine doing?" You know, or you know.
Yeah, you find out. You know, yeah, was his mom's name was Elaine? Or
no, I'm just making names up. Yeah. But it was just like, I know your daughter Judy was, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
get in your head that way. And then the guy he would oppose, who had to try to block him, he would figure out what the dude liked, what he ate, who his brothers and sisters were, and he did his research and
would get pre-internet
and get in your head psychologically speaking.
Yeah.
To me, that I don't know, that's kind of psychological warfare, not so much trash
talking.
That's
gamesmanship.
Yeah. So he wouldn't just go, you know, I just ate your mama. You know, he just brilliant. And there was a commercial on national TV. I don't know if you saw it or not. They show John Randall sewing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got him on a sewing machine, and he's got his little glasses, little readers on. And then they show him chasing a chicken around. And then they show him with what he was sewing, which was Brett Favre's uniform, on the chicken. And then at the end, they show him eating a chicken leg.
Wow. That's funny.
Think about that, though. You know, that's deep. Anyway, so Johnny Randall, for many reasons,
Yeah. Any honorable mentions you want to give a little credit to?
Oh, you can't go wrong with the
offense and defense. Just free associate here.
Yeah. I loved Keith Millard. Keith Millard was a gritty dude.
Was he a tackle?
He was a defensive lineman. I thought he was on the outside. I thought he was edge, but I thought he also had like 20 or 21 sacks one year.
He did. Well, he won defensive player of the year that, you know,
Dolman had 21. Had 21. So
he did something right.
Millard, there's Henry Thomas, and then there's so many defensive players.
Studwell, we mentioned pre-show.
You know, we didn't talk about Joey Browner enough, or much, I should say. That guy's hands, he was well known for the strength of his hands. He broke Gerald Wilhite's leg. I think this is why they outlawed the horse
collar tackle.
Horse collar tackle. He was running in the Metrodome, running in for a touchdown. Joey Browner grabbed him, pulled him back, and broke his leg. Anyway, so Joey Browner is phenomenal.
I think I read 6 straight Pro Bowls.
Black belt in karate as well.
I wouldn't fuck with anybody in the NFL, but
yeah,
certainly
and Jared
not
Allen.
Him.
I mean, Jared Allen.
Oh, Jared Allen. But we haven't talked to him yet.
Yeah, we haven't.
He'll be coming.
Covered that era. Jared Allen is. Yeah.
So
when you can sport jorts and get away with it.
Yeah. He had his own vibe going on. I remember Jared Allen.
Still does.
Is he still around here?
He is not here, but he's going to be inducted into the
Hall of Fame.
I think he was just inducted because they had the Hall of Fame game a few weeks ago. And he rode in and out on a horse, if memory serves. Somebody told me that. Anyway. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, there it is. The all miserable millennia team. Yeah. Millennium.
Yes.
I think with this squad, add a few more defensive parts, we could, and an offensive line, we could cross the line, but that's only in our own heads.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure you've imagined so many times.
Oh.
What are you going to do if they ever win it? We already talked about this. We thought we might reenact the Titanic scene, I'm the king of the world.
We could, as long as we're fully clothed.
I'm out.
That might be, and don't hold me to this, because you know I don't indulge in beverages anymore.
Right.
But that might be like champagne worthy or middling.
Yeah, I can find you some Martinelli's. Some apple. Remember, you know what that is?
No, I do not.
It's the apple cider. We used to drink it when we were kids at New Year's Eve. And we thought we were.
Okay, yes.
Then you act drunk even though you're not drunk.
Yeah. I would do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Well, let's go over to entertainment. We're just recapping what we've learned, what some of our favorites were. We thought we might do some top 5 list of the movies and records we talked about. Mike, why don't you start me off with, and these are, did you rank yours? Or is it just a grouping of 5?
It's a grouping,
I just did a tier.
But I could quickly rank.
Really?
Which one are we covering first, movies or?
Movies. I didn't rank mine. I'll ask you, is it Michael Jr.? Is it Vinny? What I'm saying is asking me to rank some of this stuff is like asking me to rank my kids.
Right.
It's difficult for me.
Which I would never do.
And this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Just give me a movie.
I think we're both in alignment with this one. One of the greatest movies of all time, Godfather 2.
You're goddamn right. Yes.
Yeah.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So. And sometimes you think you're keeping a friend close, but it's actually an enemy.
Yeah.
And they live in Utah.
Oh.
And they're Mormon.
Yeah.
That happens.
He gets no airtime for me.
It's a name that shall not be spoken.
Correct.
Ever again.
Yep.
Godfather 2, I mean, the first scene where they're in Lake Tahoe. Did I tell you I drove by the house? It's a compound. Mm-hmm. It's on the west shore of Tahoe. It's one of the reasons why I moved to Tahoe after I got out of, I have a biology degree from UCLA. And I was planning on going to graduate school and I needed to do some more work and take Spanish and some other things. So I just went on a little retreat to South Lake Tahoe for 8 months and just snowboarded and checked out the Godfather house. I used to tell people if it's good enough for the Godfather, it's good enough for me. You know?
Yeah.
Tahoe. Well. Beautiful place.
I was gonna say, I've never been, but it looks beautiful.
Probably my favorite scene in that movie is when... Freddie, what is it? Fighting Pentangeles?
Oh, Frank Pantangeli.
Yeah, remember when they have the meeting and he's like, you're drinking your champagne cocktails and you're, he's just drunk and it's just so
being
good.
Disrespectful to the God.
Or when Michael's telling the story of Luca Brasi to Kay, Adam.
Oh, that's the first one.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's
oh yeah, you're right. It is. Gosh, I got those scenes mixed up. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, that's a good scene too. Godfather 1's not bad either. But all the Italian stuff, I don't think a lot of people get into. I love it. I love.
Speak for yourself.
Well, where they go back to Italy.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying like Italians as an ethnicity. I'm talking about when they go back to Italy. He meets that lady who gets blown up in a car. By the way, you might want to fast forward the nude scene. She actually was 17 when they filmed that nude scene. So buyer beware on that one.
Not illegal in Italy. No, absolutely. Rarely are sequels good.
De Niro learned Italian.
Let alone great. Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yep. Nope.
If you haven't seen it by now, I don't know what to do. I mean, you can see it, but
it's a 3-hour movie, and I don't know if the kids.
I feel like if you haven't seen Godfather at this point, you're not going to see it. So,
yeah.
What else you got on there? So there's one.
Well, we're both in alignment there. Now, again, misunderstanding. So I had a different list. I quickly scratched some of those off. Platoon, 1987.
Oscar. Yeah. Winner for.
Yeah.
Best Picture. What did that movie do to you? Is it because you sort of lived through the Vietnam era more than I? Maybe
I was
it hit
a kid,
you different?
But,
yeah, I mean, no. But you saw people around the neighborhood and people being nervous and protests and the whole thing, right?
You know, my father, my ex-father-in-law, this great man, was there. And, you know, and I remember leaving the theater, and I mentioned this before, and seeing like a handful of men sitting there staring at the credits and their eyes were glossed over. Because it was apparently so realistic that it probably brought back some
triggered some PTSD.
Yeah. And I just thought it was super well done and the details were, you know, from what I obviously wasn't there, but everyone says the details were spot on. And
well, guess Oliver who Stone, was there?
Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
And he left no stone unturned. But bum.
Hey, now.
Yep.
Sorry. Had to do it. Yeah. I need to do the rim shot one. I'll put it on here next time.
And you know who my favorite character in that movie, and I don't mean in a good way.
Willem Dafoe?
No, although he was a good dude.
Tom
Berenger.
Yeah.
Y'all talking about killing? You know, when he walked in and they were talking.
I haven't watched it in forever.
Oh, my goodness. And then and Charlie Sheen goes off and then Tom Berenger ends up kicking the crap out of him into this like underground punk compound where there was the weed heads and then the beer drinkers. And anyway, so Tom Berenger's character, Sergeant Barnes. Anyway, it was as good as it gets. I'm surprised he didn't win something for that. But
also in Major League.
Yes, he was with Charlie Sheen.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They must have been boys.
Wild Thing. Yep.
Yeah, and they were a battery, you know what I mean? He was the pitcher, Berenger was the catcher.
And I'm guessing Berenger had some athletic ability too.
He looked like.
But when he started swinging the bat a little bit, I'm like, okay. Anyway, maybe football was a sport. But
well, Charlie Sheen claims he got clocking the ball up in the 90s.
Yeah, and just watch his delivery. Charlie Sheen played ball. You could tell.
And he'll let you know.
And he was an eight man out. If you saw eight men. So he played, you could tell he played. I mean, when the way he delivered his, when he caught the ball.
He's got Tiger's blood.
Okay. I'm not sure where that.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, is when that he had, when he went manic and he's like,
meth stint.
Yeah. He claimed that he had Tiger's blood. I don't know what it means either, but it sounds good.
Winning. He's the one that came up with winning.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that, Charlie.
Yeah.
I had to hurt every asshole within like a 5-mile radius.
You're winning.
Yeah. And ironically, they weren't winning.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do we have movies wise? That's two.
Oh, am I going?
No, you're not ranking. I'm just, let's just do yours.
I had Easy Rider.
Yeah. Jack.
Jack.
Hopper.
I love Easy Rider. Butch Cassidy.
I have Butch Cassidy.
Okay. American Graffiti.
That's five.
Yeah.
American Graffiti. Tell me why you put that on the list.
That,
Francis, or not Francis Ford Coppola, it's George Lucas's first.
George Lucas. Oh, what? I did not know
George Lucas.
First?
Or wait, or is it Francis Ford Coppola?
No, I think it's George. I think you're right.
Yeah.
George Lucas. If there was an era, if there were an era that I want like to go back to,
yeah,
even the '50s.
Yeah.
And if I had to a choice in life,
we should start a Sean on a cover band.
Well, there, Bowser.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I love, who didn't love Happy Days growing up, right?
Yeah.
Well, probably before your time, but maybe.
What
you
mean,
the
we're
reruns.
The toughest guy in town? Acts Italian, but is Jewish, yeah, and hangs out with high schoolers.
Henry Winkler, show? Arthur Fonzarelli.
How old was he supposed to be in there? He's literally hanging out with high schoolers.
Right. No, that's true. But you can't mess with the Fonz. He jumped a shark for the love of Pete.
Yeah, he did. And he can make equipment work just with his hand.
Yay.
Remember?
I wanted to.
He would punch the,
yep,
the jukebox, and
I've seen every episode multiple times. I wanted a lunchbox, a Fonzie lunchbox, but my mom wouldn't buy me one, so I'm over that.
A lot of people say that I remind them of Potsy.
Potsy Weber?
I'm kidding.
Maybe if you got rid of the C, yeah, pot.
No, I'm kidding. Hey! Let's not dox me here. By, yeah, the way, guys, I'm JP McGillicuddy. I never introduced myself. I don't think I'm just the narrator. I, you know,
you're just the captain of this Exxon Valdez.
I'm just steering the ship. Yeah. And I am drunk like him. All right. Those are your five. Okay. Let's talk about ones that we had some cross. Well, we had The Godfather in common part two. I went with, you aced this off your list. It was on the bubble, as they say. Mm. Young Frankenstein.
It loved young. It is on the bubble.
You want to talk about physical strength?
Yeah.
Do you remember that scene? Yeah, when he's like he's like placating the monster, and he's like, "You handsome boy." It's just so good. And he's like, "No matter what, do not let me out of this room." If you guys haven't seen it at home,
yeah,
Gene Wilder plays Frankenstein, and he creates Frankenstein's monster. And this gentleman accidentally gets an abnormal brain in his head.
Abnormal.
And they're thinking he's dangerous. So Gene Wilder's character, Dr. Frankenstein, goes in the room with his new creation, and he tells his staff, no matter what, do not open this door. And he goes in and he starts calling the, pumping up the monster. And then he does something that scares the monster, and monster turns on him, and he just starts screaming at the door, "You fucking crazy, let me out." And they don't let him out. It's just a good scene.
Gene Wilder's classic.
I might edit that whole story out. You kind of have to see it, but yeah, it's in Terry and a young Terry Garr.
Oh yeah.
In black and white, rolling around in the hay.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yes, I do.
So good.
Yeah, great movie.
Jaws.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
One of the greatest movies of all time, first
Absolutely.
Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went over that pretty much in depth in one of the episodes. Great cast. Just, I love fishing in the ocean. And, you know, the beginning of the movie is like a whodunit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of the movie is like an action kind of thriller, horror.
Yeah.
But superb acting. And then Spielberg knows how to. How to direct.
Did you imagine that movie now with the special effects and the, what is it, GSI? Is that what it's called? CGI?
Yeah.
CGI.
Computer generated images.
Yeah.
I mean,
right after we talked about this a few months ago, it was on. It must have been like the 50th anniversary or something like that. And I watched it, and I watched Jaws 2. And
it's great. Yeah. Well, I would argue that maybe it wouldn't be as good because the shark not working well is when they figured out people are actually afraid of the unknown. So maybe you see the dorsal fin, you know, it's some tension by not seeing the shark.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the first scene, for instance,
yes,
you never see the shark.
No.
You didn't. Right. You see the woman get dragged. To me, that's almost scarier because you don't know what's underneath.
No, I totally agree. I'm talking about later in the movie, like when he ate.
When he actually gets eaten, yeah.
Yeah.
And they have to cut in that real footage. Remember that? They actually got real footage from people that dove off the Barrier Reef in Australia. Spielberg talked. He found some footage somewhere of some documentary, and he found the people that shot that, and he got them to jump in the water with those sharks. And if you watch the movie, there's some real-life footage. And it was captured just for the movie because they realized, you know, that mechanical shark, like, as modern as it may have been back then, was certainly limited and had tons of problems. It kept on sinking to the bottom of the ocean. The troubles on that shoot are well documented, but what a product.
Mm-hmm. No, that's certainly worthy, and good call on that one.
Butch and Sundance, we both have that one. I mean, Paul Newman, what can you say? And he just worked so well with Robert Redford. It's just really well done movie. Kind of movie that captures the last days of the Old West. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Things definitely changed in the country. I don't know what it was about the change that made bank robbing sort of impossible, but they sort of just rooted, I guess just more, what would you call it? Like more structure, more, you know, a police force. It's just not as wild. The wild days were behind them. And this is a real story. I mean, they were kind of like the last, like, of that Jesse James era of cowboys, like, you know, crazy bank robbers or whatever cowboys got up to. But from what I understand, Butch and Sundance were real people, and that was the end of that era. And they actually did find him down in Argentina and kill him. Did you know that Butch Cassidy and Sundance were real people?
Did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
No, I do now.
And that was they were ushering in like a new, that was kind of the end of an era, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah.
Something like what we're going through now with what's going to happen with AI and all this stuff. A lot of things are going to change. It's not going to be the same world. And Butch and Sundance were anachronistic, out of place in time.
Mm-hmm.
What was the story? You know, the real Butch Cassidy got arrested. They didn't put this in the movie, but I heard this story once. Let me see if I can figure it out. He got arrested he was very charming, just like Paul Newman is in the movie, this Butch Cassidy fella. And he got arrested, and he was put in jail, and the judge said, you know what, Butch, we're going to let you out as long as you promise never to steal again. And for whatever reason, Butch, maybe he was just an honest guy who liked to steal, he goes, I can't promise that, but what I will promise you is I will never steal in your jurisdiction again. And they let him go, and then he went on to rob, and he became famous. So wow. They had him, you know.
What an ethical thief.
I know, huh? I kind of like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what else? And then One Flew Over.
Yeah.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You know, I saw it when I was very young. I only understood half of it. Just, again, great cast.
Yeah.
Won Best Picture. Jack was already on the map, but, I mean, that made him a superstar.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Great performances all the way around. Nurse Ratched. The woman you just love to hate. Even though I'll argue she was a bitch, but she was just doing her job. But a lot of fond memories with that one growing up. My dad showed it to me, probably a little young yet to be watching that, but I have no complaints. Maybe by modern standards, who knows?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my list. That's my five. Yeah.
Can I throw a couple just honorable mentions
out?
We won't have to talk about them at all, but one shout out to Mr. McGillicuddy, Backdraft, one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dad, that one's for you. My dad was a fireman, so.
Yep, and love that movie. Tombstone.
Oh, God. Right. We didn't put that one on there because we didn't cover that year.
That specific year. We missed it by 1 year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but that's one of my favorite movies of all time. We've talked about it a
absolutely.
Little bit.
And then most people probably have never heard of this movie, A Bronx Tale.
Directed by Robert De Niro.
Yep, and starring Robert De Niro. And this is one of those rare, well, he's not a gangster, but he's a gangster movie. It's a great story about this kid growing up in this gangster world. And
That kid got thrown in jail. He was on The Sopranos. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, he murdered someone.
Yeah, that's not good. He took that method acting a little too far, I guess. Anyway, so those are my honorable mentions. Yeah, for sure.
My honorable mention would probably be The Sting. It came down to Young Frankenstein and The Sting. And the way I did my list for the music and films is I just was honest with myself and what do I watch more? What do I listen to more?
Mm-hmm.
And I like The Sting a lot and I would watch it again, but I've seen Young Frankenstein so many times. It just had to go in.
Yeah.
No, can't go wrong. All right, let's go records. I asked you for five of the years we've covered so far.
Yep, and I blew that list too.
But we figured it out.
We figured it out, and you're going to be shocked if you've listened
to Zeppelin.
It's three of the top five for me are Zeppelin 1, Zeppelin 2, Physical Graffiti, Billy Joel, The Stranger, and Best of U2, 1980 to 1990. And I wanted desperately, but J.P. McGillicuddy said no. He runs this ship
with an iron fist. This is not Vietnam. There are rules here.
There are rules. So Under a Blood Red Sky, U2 in Germany in 1983 is the, to me, my favorite album of all time. But people listen to all the you know, all the tracks they put on the radio, and that U2 is anyway. So I wasn't allowed to put that one on, but I snuck it in. This is
a, we found a way.
But those are my five.
Found a workaround.
Those are my five.
Yeah,
look, three Zeppelins, a Billy Joel, and a U2.
Lightning round, top three or just three standout Zeppelin songs.
Oh my! If I were playing professional baseball and I had,
you would walk out to.
I'd walk out to the Immigrant Song.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that song?
I probably am, but not by name.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll play it after we get off.
Okay.
Air. Boy, I'm not great with the names. I just know the songs.
Cashmere.
Cashmere is right up there. Boy, you caught me again.
Favorite band, huh?
Favorite band, yeah, but I just the names are what I struggle with, and I just saw.
I'm getting motivated. Just think.
Oh, here we go. Song remains the same. The Lemon song, Dazed and Confused. I should have quit you, babe. I could go on and on. As soon as you put the Viking Skull chant on, it just woke me up.
I have a little soft spot in my heart for Dyer Maker.
Okay.
Do you know that one?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I think I told you I saw Zeppelin, all-woman band from California, Zeppelin tribute band.
You said they were shredding.
They were I sent you a video.
Yes, you did.
The lead guitarist is beautiful beyond belief.
Nice-looking lady.
What's that?
Nice-looking lady.
Oh, my goodness. And she can play. They all can play. They're all beautiful in their own right. But if you have a chance to see Zeppelin, they're from California, I believe, see them.
All right.
Your list.
Yeah, my list. Well, I went with the Beatles' Abbey Road.
Okay.
This is the record where they unleashed George Harrison. You know, George Harrison was like the little brother to John and Paul.
Yeah.
It turns out he could write a song or two.
Yeah.
Something in the Way, you know, that song Something.
Absolutely.
What else did he write on there? Waiting for Here Comes the Sun.
Okay.
It's on that record.
Yep.
It's a good record. By Beatles standards, not my favorite, but certainly, like, I mean, can you imagine being in a band and not letting the guy who wrote Here Comes the Sun or you know what I mean? Like, it's a spoil of riches. It's just so lucky that those guys found each other to be that talented.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they even put in their work. You know, a lot of people don't know about the Germany days where they played, like, 8 hours of shows a day, 7 days a week for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they talk about your 10,000 hours to become really proficient at something.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly amassed that and a big part of that in Germany. And apparently they got pretty wild out there. There was like a, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of like New Orleans vibe in Germany.
Okay.
At least for like the partying, like live music, a lot of sin. You didn't know about Hamburg. You didn't know the Beatles?
I did, yeah. Yep.
Another band that I love and we've talked about on the show is the Rolling Stones. In particular, I love Keith Richards. Let It Bleed. Opening track, Gimme Shelter. Speaking of Martin Scorsese, and I mean, he obviously loves them. Gimme Shelter is probably on three or four of his movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always let Keith sing one. And You Got the Silver, I think I played it on the show. It's on that record. There's some other good jams on there, too. Johnny Cash, Live at San Quentin.
Oh, yeah.
You got to admire Johnny.
He was on my list, too, but not top five. Yep.
I happen to be Johnny, you know, he believed in second chances, and so do I.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you went to jail doesn't mean you're a rotten human forever, and you should be outcast and given no chance. I feel like that's what happens a lot of times when people make mistakes. They throw them in there, and then, you know, what they say, it's college for criminals. They come out worse criminals.
Mm-hmm.
I think Johnny was trying to do some good there, and you know, he admitted to his own faults. He had been arrested. He tried to sneak, amphetamines from Mexico. If you've seen the movie, they
many times. Yeah, love it.
I liked it too. Yeah, he's one of my all-time favorites. I just
so he's been married a few times, right?
Yeah,
as have I. And so one of my buddies once said, "Mike, you're kind of like Johnny Cash without the talent." I'm like, "Oh, that's great."
Thank you for that. I got to be honest, Mike. I've never thought of Johnny Cash when I've hung out with you.
No,
but a lot of people get divorced.
The talentless, yeah. That's like I said. A buddy was, and he was under the influence of a few beverages.
I let him live. That's because you always wear black, right?
Yeah, my mood and attitude and my heart
on my soul. Let's see. Well, Bruce, we know he was my first ever concert, Bruce Springsteen, so he had to go on there with Born to Run.
Born to Run.
Born to Run is a song that'll just make you want to drive across the country. It's just a romantic song. It's just, it puts me back in a place where anything was possible when I was a little younger. Bruce captured that on that record.
Yeah. Great storyteller. I know people love Bruce. I'd like Bruce, but he's not a top 10 artist for me, but
yeah,
he's a great storyteller.
Yeah. And he charges too much for his tickets. My last record is Fleetwood Mac, self-titled. Rhiannon is on there, and Landslide. That song breaks me in half. Plus, I just have a thing for good-looking females with talent. And both Christine McVie and Stevie Nicks have that in spades.
Yeah.
More so Stevie.
Yeah.
But it came down to Fleetwood Mac or GNR, Appetite for Destruction. I wanted to shout them out. You know, that Appetite for Destruction record's probably a better record. But I chose these based on what I find myself going to listen to. And, you know, Mike, I listen to a lot of punk, but I like to relax here and there, too. And Fleetwood Mac, yeah, I'm not ashamed to say they're a staple in my rotation.
No. You know what? Another one of those very talented bands. Not in my top 10, but I have listened to them quite a bit over the years. So
that's everything.
Well, that is everything.
It's an hour, minute,
one
hour.
One last thing.
Go ahead, please.
And I don't know, because I misread the preparation email. Queen.
Yeah.
Queen, that was their heyday.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I love Queen. They're one of my top five bands. So I don't know if any of those albums were in the years that we covered. So
just want to shout them
out. Just want to give Freddie, if you haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody, it is a fantastic movie.
I saw that movie, and I feel like they didn't get into the real nitty-gritty stuff. Like, you know, there's some darker story. I mean, yeah, anyway. Yeah. It's, you know, it was controlled by them, and they're not going to let it go out warts and all. But I could see if you were a big – plus, that guy's teeth distracted me. They were actually bigger than Freddie Mercury's. Did you find that – did that distract you at all? I mean, those were some choppers.
They were some choppers.
Like, Mr. Ed would say, like, you should probably get those teeth worked on.
Yeah. No, they didn't distract me, but they were certainly emphasizing.
Sorry to nitpick.
Yeah. No.
Great. Well, that's everything. I didn't even do an artist of the week because we didn't do a year. Mm-hmm. We're going to be back. I hope you guys enjoyed this, sort of indulging us just talking. We just wanted to get together and put something out while I'm figuring out my tech and our guests. So we will be back with more heartbreak, the little happier episode. Sorry to disappoint, but we'll be back to the mind-numbing frustration, the year 2000, with a special guest, Mike.
May I say one thing,
please,
before you sign off? I've been talking to dozens of listeners.
Yeah, our dozen listeners. I love them all.
Anyway, they love how we integrate sports, pop culture, and some other things.
Oh, good.
And so what I was going to say is, if you folks out there listening, JP can give the email. Send us if there's something you'd like to have us discuss or some
other. Yeah, Misery Loves Company. Sorry, Mike.
No.
Misery Loves Company, MN, Mike Nancy, @gmail.com.
Yeah.
I haven't checked it in a while. I'm going to let you behind the curtain. We don't get a ton of emails. But, emails. I'd love to hear from somebody.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's something you want us to discuss, or
this is supposed to be a communal program, right? That
indeed.
I know, because I talk to people out in the world here in Minnesota, and everybody feels the same way. It's a frustrating job being a Minnesota sports fan, but
it is indeed. And
I admire your tenacity,
absolutely. And today's word is pickles. All right, I got nothing.
Hey, I have one thing before we go. I was going to do my anachronism of the week because I say outdated words per you, but you happen to be right. I've caught myself saying soup to nuts, Mike. Do you know what soup to nuts means?
Yeah, from beginning of the cradle to grave.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Do you know where it comes from?
Nope.
It's because, like, in the olden days, they used to, a full meal was soups, salad, main course, dessert, then nuts. I don't know why. You ever finish a meal with a dessert and go, how about some pralines?
I know Liberace has.
Jesus Christ. And with that, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening. What, can we play them out with something? Let's, I don't know.
Righteous Bucks.
Thank you, Jeff. Do I have anything fun on here? I don't know if I do. Eh, win in Rome. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Talk to you next week. Bye.